Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, we're going to talk a lot about verses concerning the mind. Let me tell you the catchphrase. Let me give you a little bit of the introduction. Let me tell you what you're hearing a lot. Let me tell you what's happening in America. Have you heard this phrase, America's mental health crisis? Have you heard a lot about that? Seems like everybody's being afflicted and having problems with mental health. People are talking about it. People are coming out. People being encouraged to talk about it. It seems like everybody in America is losing their mind somehow, some way. And I'll talk to you about the fact that there are some legitimate things out there. But folks, I'm going to contend something. This one I want to help us with. I want to kind of put something out there, okay? Put your seatbelt on. We've got a nation that seems like a nation of victims. And we also have a mental health crisis that I believe, for the most part, is self-inflicted. Self-inflicted, okay? What do you mean by that? Well, you know, humanism was introduced into our public school system in the 1960s. You know that there's biblical thought patterns, biblical mindsets that have always contributed to a healthy mental state, optimism, motivation to do the right thing. America was built not on pessimism, but on optimism. America was built, and Americans overcame, and Americans triumphed for the most part because we were raised to have a biblical way of thinking. Now stop and think about that. You know, the devil has tried to destroy that. The farther he's gotten our young people away from the Bible, and it's one thing to take the Bible out of the Christian school or the public school, it's another thing to introduce an alternative religion. And by the way, humanism is as much a religion as Christianity. And if we shouldn't be allowed, for whatever reason, amazing how, you know, they keep yelling separation of church and state. Well, it seems like they want us separated from them, but they don't mind sticking their nose in our business. Hello, have you been awake for the last 2 years? What happened to separation of church and state when it came time for the government to dictate whether we could go to church, how we could go to church, when we could go to church, and what we could do when we're there? You know, it's amazing they don't want me up at the state house, but they want to stick their nose in the auditorium of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Well, false religion of humanism, which is self-worship or the worship of human beings. The Bible predicted this, where we would worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And so there's a faulty way of thinking that has produced and will continue to produce a mental health crisis in our country until we get back to a biblical way of thinking. Now, I can't stop everything that's happening here, outside here, but I'm watching some of these same mindsets, humanistic mindsets, filter into the church. Folks, we can't act as if we are not being affected by some of the things that are being taught and pushed in the agenda. And so we're going to talk plainly about some things over the course of the next several weeks. I'm going to take you to different places in the Bible and teach you to have a biblical, Christ-like mindset, mental outlook on life. And as you adopt these ways of thinking, you're going to find out that if you're having mental health issues, that the best medicine is the Word of God, is the Word of God. And so look at Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. How about this? Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Boy, that's the supreme example of everything. Jesus is who it's about. Jesus is what it's about. Jesus is what this day is about, by the way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us as we introduce these series of messages. Help us, Lord, to be able to get into the Word of God, and may the Word of God help our mental state. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use this, Lord, to help Christians to get on the victory side. Too much negativity, too much stinking thinking. Too much poor me, too much can't see the bright side. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to have the same mindset that Jesus Christ had. Help us to learn to think like Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I met Cheryl, my wife, and 1983 while I was enrolled in Bible college. And you know what? It wasn't very long after getting to meet her and get to know her. It just seemed like the Lord told me this is the one. Well, part of the process is to eventually meet her family. And so her family invited me to their home place in Wisconsin the next summer for a visit. And it was exciting. Meet her mom and dad, and not so much exciting to meet her sister, but her brothers were really nice, and that's for Debbie. And but I met for the first time her younger brother, Todd. Todd at that time was 10 years old, and he was a happy, wonderful, mischievous young man who was the star of their family. Todd was born both physically and mentally handicapped. He never spoke a word in his 28 years. Never walked a step without assistance, but in some ways he was more perfect than I guess any of us could ever achieve. He loved unconditionally, embraced life enthusiastically, and pretty much touched the hearts of anybody he came in contact with. That's a pretty good life right there. And I know that because, you know what, he touched my life. I hadn't spent much time around mentally handicapped people up to that point. All of a sudden, I'm being marrying into a family that has, Cheryl has Todd as her little brother. And you know what, folks, listen to me. I want to start out by saying some of this out loud because I do realize that there are people that have mental handicaps. I'm going to say in a minute, there are such things as legitimate mental illnesses and chemical imbalances. And I don't want you to think I'm diminishing any of that. You know what? Our church is blessed to be a magnet for special needs adults and young people. We are, you know, and many of them come on every single Sunday. And you know what? They make their way to our church. And you know what? They bring laughter and sunshine. And I can't imagine our church without them. And so I want you to understand that I understand. You know, the minute you start saying mental health, all of a sudden people get all uptight, you know. I get that there's some legitimate things. People dealing with mental illness face something just as real as those that are born mentally handicapped. Now, I will say this, in my 35 years of active ministry, I've counseled families and individuals who have dealt with the varying types of mental illnesses and disorders that they produced in their life. And you know what? I'm thankful for the assistance of Christian physicians, Christian psychiatrists and psychologists. And I've referred people in my own congregation to receive professional help because they have an expertise to assist in these very often very complex and real issues. Now look up here, having said all that, what I just said is a small, tiny percentage of what is now hiding underneath the umbrella of so-called mental health disorders or mental health issues. Part of it is we have been trained to have a victim's mentality. Seems like everybody's got to have something wrong with them. Everybody's got to have an excuse. Everybody's got to have an owie. And they want to build their entire identity around that. God did not save you. Look right up here. God did not save you so that you could remain a victim. God saved you to make you a victor. A victor. And when you get into the Word of God, it doesn't mean that there aren't hard things in your past and unfortunate things and terrible things in some people's lives that they have suffered. But listen to me, to be bound by the ramifications of that for the rest of your life, to define yourself by what someone else did, is to allow them to keep making you a victim. And you know, at some point, you got to get on the victory side. And Jesus, if he was able to defeat death, which is what we're going to celebrate today, I suppose he's powerful enough to help you to rise again also, to get up, to walk out of that tomb that you've been entrapped in, to roll that stone away and say, hey, you don't have to live the rest of your life. You know what? Defining yourself over a handful of unfortunate and sometimes terrible things that have happened, you can get on the victory side, but you have to do so through the renewing of your mind. We're going to see a lot of the Bible talks about our mind. And folks, listen to me. Let me just kind of break this down. God said in the beginning, He said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're a Trinity. We're a triune being. We're body, soul, and spirit. One of the things we need to understand is your soul is also a Trinity. And your soul is the mind, the heart, and the will. Now think about how important the mind is. Because how you think determines how you feel. And how you feel, think, and feel is going to determine what you do, your will. You know, how you think about something, how you feel about something is how you're going to act about something. And so the battleground is in the mind. You know, I can't help the way I feel. Again, look right up here. I'm not going to let you, if you're going to come to Sunday school class here, I'm not going to let you spend your life being a victim. This is going to irritate some of you. This is going to, you're going to want to push back. You're going to want to fight back. You know why? Because you've been watching The View. And you listen to Oprah too much. And you watch too much Dr. Phil. And none of them have a King James Holy Bible, open it up, teaching you to how to be a victor. They make a living keeping people as victims. And so it's time to get on the victory side. How about that? And so anyway, I said all that to say there's a legitimate cases of mental health. And by the way, those that deal with them did not ask for them, nor should they be burdened with the additional weight of blame and guilt. Just the opposite is true. In our churches, I think people need to come in and find compassion and love and patience and understanding. And if you need professional help, I want to point you to a Christian, not a humanist, to get help, because they're just going to further put you in bondage, okay? But hiding under the umbrella of legitimate health care, mental health cases, is a separate group of Americans claiming to suffer from mental health issues. From the rich and famous, you watch it. I mean, superstar athletes can't play the game tonight, curled up in a fetal position, having a mental health meltdown. What's going on? From the working class Joe and Jane to the university student, I've never seen any place, any gathering place where it seems like people are so mentally weak as in the places where they're supposed to be intellectually superior. What is going on? They've got to have quiet rooms. They've got to have little closets, little safe places where they can go and find a blankie and curl up and suck their thumbs so that they can get over what... Hey, you know what they need? Look right up here. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. But they've been told the Bible is full of lies. They've been told that the Bible was written by men. Some of you have heard this nonsense. They've been told that the Bible's not the Word of God, that it can't be trusted, that if you read it and study it too much, it'll make you crazy. Well, we're not the ones going crazy. Excuse me. We're just fine. And so let's get back into the Bible and let's learn from the Bible how to think. Everyone's talking about mental health. And to be honest with you, it seems like nobody knows what to do about it. But I want to, once again, in introduction, contend that much of the mental health crisis we're facing in America is the result, listen, of a lost way of thinking, an abandonment of core mindsets that historically produced a nation of winners instead of whiners, champions instead of crybabies, victors instead of victims. Folks, that's the America I grew up in. That's the America my grandpa handed to me. And it's the America that, you know what, has revolutionized the world and made us the greatest country in the world. But we're spiraling down. Say, preacher, what happened? Where do we get off track? How do we lose a way of thinking that used to produce stability and success and did so for generations of Americans? Listen up. On June 25th, 1962, the United States Supreme Court decided in Engle versus Vitale that a prayer approved by the New York Board of Regents for use in schools violated the First Amendment by constituting an establishment of religion. The following year, there was another court case that disallowed Bible reading in the public schools for similar reasons. In essence, our judicial system kicked God and the Bible out of our nation's public educational system. Okay, what's happened since then? Come on, anybody that is fair, anybody that is my age, 50s, 60s, 70s, have watched America change drastically. Come on, when I went to Shackamack High School back in the 1970s, every guy showed up in the parking lot with a pickup truck and a couple guns hanging in the back window, and no one thought a thing about it. And not one time. Listen, we had sometimes disagreements. There used to be guys meet out in the parking lot to settle some differences. Amen. And not one time did somebody even have a thought of opening the door of a truck and pulling a gun out and shooting somebody. You know why? Because there was still a biblical way of thinking that had been put in our hearts and in our minds. Hey, we actually knew the Ten Commandments. One of them was, thou shalt not kill. But you know what? Those that wanted to destroy Christianity, those that wanted to promote a paganism way of thinking in our country, were buying their time. You know what? They knew they couldn't do it overnight, so they just slowly began to introduce things into the curriculum. And boy, there'd be a rising up for a while. Same thing's happening today. They see how far they can push till people scream, then they pull back a little bit, but not as far as they were. And then they push, and a couple years later, what can we get by with? And people will scream, and they'll back up a little bit, but only about half as much as they did. And they have been slowly advancing their humanistic paganism, anti-God, anti-Jesus Christ, anti-King James Holy Bible way of thinking upon a population. And folks, listen to me. We've got the mess we have today because we have taken the Bible out of our public school system and introduced instead the new religion of secular humanism. Not only was the Bible not taught, its moral dictates and common sense teachings were systematically dismantled by teachers in front of the children. 60 years later, the vast majority of Americans do not view life from a biblical perspective. Listen, folks, come on. I spent probably at least five hours yesterday knocking on doors, 5 hours out visiting people, some of them that had come and visited our church, others I was doing just door-to-door, knocking on doors. You know what? Look right up here. The average American was not making plans to be in church today on Easter Sunday. Oh, they had plans. They told me about all of their plans. But their plans did not include going to church. Their plans did not include picking up a Bible and opening it up. Their plans did not revolve around the celebrating of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? They were going to celebrate Easter in a secular fashion. Well, folks, the reason we got here is because of what happened in our public schools years ago. And by the way, think about what humanism has produced. Think about this. They have dismantled the teaching of the Bible. And 60 years later, vast majority of Americans do not view life from a biblical perspective. Instead, they have a temporal, come on, selfish, confused, muddled, and hopeless view of their existence. This is not without consequences. It has produced a mental state that is not healthy. This was not the state of our country prior to 1962. Excuse me, you need to do your history. You need to study it out. This was not how there was not this spirit of despair. There was a spirit of optimism and we can do it. And we can overcome. And America was a bright and happy and exciting place to be. It wasn't full of the turmoil and the nonsense and the rioting and the me first and my way first. And I'm a victim and I want my way. That's not the way America was. And so, you know what happened? Again, we're talking about America's mental health crisis. How much of it is self-inflicted? The core teachings of secular humanism has produced a state of mental despair. Imagine 6 decades of young people being taught these. I'm going to give you just a scattering of what they have been taught and are now being taught. You are the product of billions of years of genetic mutative mistakes. Missing links in natural selection. You weren't created. Nothing special about you. You are an animal. The most evolved animal, but you're still an animal. YOLO. What's that stand for? You only live once. This life is all you have. Then you cease to exist. There's no eternity, only now. Later, there's only dust. So, you know what? If this is all you're going to have, then grab everything you can. And do everything that feels good. If it feels good, do it. This is what secular humanism's teaching our young people. You are your own little G God. You determine what is right and wrong for you. There'll be no judgment seat, no reckoning, no answering, no consequences for sin and evil, no reward for right and good either. None of that. This is what they're being taught. The Bible is an evil, dangerous book. It's not God's word. It's a book written by men full of contradictions and outdated ideas. Now, I'm not saying I believe that. I'm telling you that's what's being actively taught to the young people in our high schools and in our universities and now even in our elementary schools. This is what they're being taught. Refuse to be bound by the Bible definition of morality. Refuse to be bound by the Bible definition of morality. Love is all that matters. Join the sexual revolution. If it feels good, do it. Give in to your flesh. Give in to it before marriage, during marriage, outside of marriage, after marriage. Forget marriage, just forget marriage. Whenever, whoever, whatever, it doesn't matter. Remember, you are an animal, so start acting like one. Well, folks, listen to me. Animals don't do some things that human beings are doing right now. Think about this. You have no divine purpose. There is no divine. Now, can you imagine young people sitting there and they're hearing these things? What is that doing to their thinking? What is that doing to their outview of life? No wonder suicide rates are skyrocketing. I mean, folks, do you realize from 1-year-old to 10-year-old, the second leading cause of death is suicide? You know from 11-year-old to 20-year-old, the second leading cause of death is suicide? You know from 20 years old to 29 years old, the second leading cause of death is suicide? Do you know that from 30 years old to 39 years old, the second leading cause of death is suicide? In the 40s, second leading cause of death is suicide. In the 50s, sixth leading cause of death is suicide. Even all the way up into the 70s, folks, it's still in the top 10. Now, that's the generation that's passing off that had some Bible basis. But think about what the future's holding with if we continue down the path we are continuing. So you have no divine purpose. There's no divine. The goal is not to be good in God's eyes, but to accomplish something great in your own eyes. They're being taught this. I know you think you're a boy, but you might be a girl. Girls, you might actually be a boy. If those two don't work for you, there's over 100 other genders to choose from. Have fun deciding what you are. This makes you special and gives you power to dictate to those around you how they must behave towards you. This is what they're being taught in our elementary school. Now, let's just settle this according to the word of God. Say, preacher, think about this. Why the gender confusion? Why the sexual confusion? Why the moral confusion? Listen, my Bible says God is not the author of confusion. So if there's confusion, where's it coming from? Now, three times the Bible clearly states that God created man. Male and female created he them. He says that three times. Three different times. God created man, male and female created him them. I have a Bible perspective, a Bible-based belief system, and based on the word of God, this is not my opinion versus your opinion. This is based on the word of God. It's very simple. It's very clear. There's no confusion. Whatever God allowed you to biologically be born, that's what you are. That's what you are. And yet, if somebody just says that out loud, like I just said it, then nowadays you're a bigot and a homophobe and a transphobe. I mean, they got all kinds of names, name calling to try to get their way. It doesn't change the facts. And you know, Governor DeSantis down there in Florida is being crucified by the liberal media because he has a bill that they're trying to pass. And by the way, before you start labeling bills, you might want to read the bill. Come on. All he's doing is saying from kindergarten to third grade, No adult teacher or teacher's aide or anyone in the school can talk to a kid about sexuality, about gender identity, about any of that stuff. Now think about this. Stay with me, okay? He's trying to pass a law just to protect them to third grade. Good night. They shouldn't be talking to that fourth graders about that, or fifth graders about that, or sixth graders. Listen, parents, you need to take control of this. You need to stop putting up with this nonsense. The only people that ought to be talking to your children about any of these subjects is the parents. Now listen to me. If an adult person wants to talk to a kindergarten age kid about this, that person's a pervert. They're a pervert. Why in the world would you walk in? You've seen these little kids sitting up here. This was our 4 and 5 year old, our kindergarten class. That was our 4 and 5 year old. This is our first grade. That was our second grader. Can you imagine me going up to that group of kids and talking to them about these subjects? Anybody that tried to do that in this church, try to corner a group of those kids and talk to them about these subjects, I'm going to tell you something. I'd call the police. They ought to have the police called on them. And yet, we're just so cowardly. Because, oh my goodness sakes, people won't think we're woke. Well, woke to what? I think we need to awake to righteousness, is what the Bible says. Got to understand that one of these days we're going to stand before God. But literally, listen, you say, then why do they want to do it? They are not interested in educating your children. They are interested in indoctrinating your children. Listen to me. They are starting at kindergarten level, grooming them, recruiting them into perverse lifestyles. Right. Just nod your head right there. Amen. I'm sorry, but I was that age in the 1960s. I didn't even have a thought about this stuff. Right. I wouldn't even know what you were talking about. Right. I thought all girls had cooties. Right. And I know they were different, but that's the only thing I knew about them. Stay away from them, you might catch cooties. That's all I knew about them, you know. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Listen, watch this. Homosexuals, sodomites. And the Bible word for them is sodomites. Well, how do you view that sin? I view it the way the Bible views it. It's an abomination before God. It's an abomination before God. Again, do you have a biblical way of thinking, or have you been brainwashed by secular humanism? Okay, it's an abomination. You hate homosexuals? No, I don't. I love them. I pray for them. I pray they all get saved and that Jesus Christ would help deliver them from their sin. But I do hate the sin of homosexuality. Now watch this. Because homosexuals, sodomites, cannot reproduce. So if they're going to grow their ranks, they have to recruit. Now they have found access into our public schools to our most innocent of children, and they are grooming them and indoctrinating them and recruiting them by getting them to begin to question their gender identity. As kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, they're introducing perverse thinking into their mind. Right. I cannot believe that parents, even in Greene counties, come on, Clay County and Sullivan County, are allowing that stuff to be taught to their kids, and you're not rioting. Now, I think it's okay to riot now, isn't it? If you don't get your way, aren't you supposed to be able to burn something or whatever, you know? Turn cars over, you know, torch the school or something. No, if we do it, then we need to go to jail. You know, it's nonsense. And I don't believe, listen, every parent that has kids, I'm blowing the trumpet on this. We used to, when Dad started a Christian school 40 years ago, he said, man, if you don't get your kids out of public school, they may grow up and be pagan. They may grow up and not believe in God. Good night. Now, if you leave your kids in a Christian school leave them in the public school, it's far worse what they have a chance of turning out to be. I mean, you know, we've had teen boys come to the church here. By the way, we bring them in on the busload, and we love them, and we preach Jesus, and we try to help them. But folks, you know, one of the teen boys told one of our teen boys about a month ago, he said, you know, don't be mad at me, but, you know, he's a junior high boy. But I'm thinking I might be bi. you know, our team boy thought he was going to leave or something, you know. What do you mean, bye? Okay, bye. You know, I might be bye. Listen, he didn't think of that on his own. He didn't wake up one day, look at the ceiling, and go, hey, you know what? I might be bisexual. He has been recruited through the curriculum. Right. In the public school, no, ma'am, I'm here. I invite you to come here, and I invite you to listen, but I'm sorry, I don't have question and answer time. So, right. But what we need to do is we need to stand firm on the Word of God. Right. Because, folks, listen to me. If that's being taught there, how much more important is it for us to get young people in where they can be taught and trained under the Word of God? And if you want to ask me something privately later, I'd be more than glad to have a conversation with you. Time's up. We got to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the service that will follow. Pray, Lord, that we could get back to the Word of God. Lord, we could let the Bible get us back to the right kind of thinking. Lord, pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.